We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
That's a good football team, give the Chiefs credit. When you look at our quality of play, I thought there were moments where we played to our standard and there were enough moments where we didn't. That's what we have to be truthful with when we look at the film.
We're not going to panic. We're going to stay solid in our locker room and, you know, be a family. We're 4-2. You know, we understand that we got to stay ahead of the curve and get things rolling. And it's no panic, but there is a sense of urgency in this locker room that we have to be better, myself included, myself leading that charge. So there's things throughout the game that I need to do better for this team to be in a better situation throughout the game. I think that's going to help all facets. So we'll learn from it, like I said. And this is a game that obviously it sucks looking back at the stats and the score sheet and whatever, but a lot of things to learn from.
All the thing I could point to is we're not playing up to our standard that I know we can play to. Of course, I'm frustrated, but we got to keep working. It's the NFL. It's tough. Every week going to be tough, so we got to come every week ready to work. That's all it's going to be. Yep. And I'll just get back to the drawing board.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
All right, it's a special edition of the Extra Point Show today on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you. Glad you could join me. Glad we could be here and to talk about what happened, what went down yesterday in the Bills' loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, dropping this team to 4-2 after such a great start, 4-0 start, now 4-2. A lot to get to, a lot to talk about. Whether it's right here on the radio and you're listening or even on the stream. We are streaming on our Facebook page, WGR 550 on Facebook. It's facebook.com/WGR550. So thanks a lot for coming aboard right there on the stream. You can listen on the app as always, radio.com app. And you can always find us on Alexa. Just say, Alexa, play WGR 550. I tell you all that because I know that you want to really kind of digest everything here today as much as you can, right? I mean, that's what we do after a loss. Not really necessarily, but I do know you want to talk about it. And that's why I open up the phone lines. 803-0550, 888-552-550. That's what we do. Doesn't matter. Win, lose, draw. After a Monday game, after a Tuesday game like last week, I'm here for you on the Extra Point Show. And I want to hear from you. I want to talk about what happened. I want to dissect this one, figure it out, see where they go from here. This was a game that I think if you just kind of looked at, well, let me start here. Let me go back. If I told you that the Buffalo Bills would hold Patrick Mahomes at 225 yards passing, that Tyreek Hill would have no more than 20 yards receiving, that the Bills would hold the Chiefs to 26 points on the scoreboard, if I told you all that heading into last night, oh my God, would you all take that? No, I would take that 100 times out of 100. Please, yes, because I'm getting to 27 for the Bills. Are you going to help? You're going to keep Patrick Mahomes at 225 yards? Woo! You're going to keep Tyreek Hill to 20? Three catches? Come on! Yes! I would absolutely sign up for that. So, that was the plan. That was the plan. I think it clearly was the plan for the Bills to make sure they did not let Patrick Mahomes, the league MVP 2 years ago, the Super Bowl MVP of last year, make sure he did not beat them. That was the plan yesterday. And it worked. What didn't work, what wasn't the plan, I'm quite sure, was allowing over 200 yards on the ground. Was allowing Clyde Edwards-Helaire to look like, I don't know, Barry Sanders and Franco Harris all rolled up into one. With the way he was using power, using cutbacks, speed, 161 yards, 245 yards rushing. They had 20 more yards rushing than Patrick Mahomes had passing. Think about that for a second. So, we heard after the game, Sean McDermott said, pick your poison. Pick your poison. The Bills did. They picked their poison. The Chiefs are a great team. They are the Super Bowl champions for a reason. They're well-balanced. They can find ways to beat you. Run game, pass game, doesn't matter. But I think we'd all recognize that Patrick Mahomes is the number one option. He's the guy that you have to stop first and foremost. So the Bills went into yesterday's game and said, we're not going to let that happen. And you know what? That means we'll probably have to give up some yards on the ground. So I want to be clear when I say this, because I think it's weird to say, and I think it's weird to read if I write it, but it's true. And that is, the Bills' game plan actually was good. And the way that they went about the philosophy of trying to stop the Chiefs' defense was smart. I think it was. And it actually, for much of it, it worked. What didn't work, though, was allowing the chunk plays on the ground, was allowing the critical third down conversions, and that's on the ground and through the air, by the way. Now, you can't let that happen. DeMarcus Robinson later, or was it, who was the guy that got the, Pringle? Pringle got the third down conversion really late in the game. I mean, let's think about the way we've watched Bills football and put it in this prism and perspective for you. And I'll get to the offense in a minute, by the way. I'm just talking about the defense right now. Let's put this into a way we can understand it by watching Bills football over the last 20 years, which is this. How many times did Bills fans, and we puff our chest out and say, look at this running game. Look at LeSean McCoy. Look at, I don't know, Marshawn Lynch back in the early 2000s, whatever. Fred Jackson, CJ Spiller, whatever it was. And Bills have had some really good running games. Look at this. Over the last whatever he's in. Look, it's going to hang our head. They're going to run the ball and pound teams, and they don't need to have this prolific passing game. Yeah, it'd be nice, but they don't have it. But they can win games like that. And you know what? Sometimes they ran the ball really well, and they'd run for 200 yards. And then in the fourth quarter, you're like, how the hell are they losing this game? Like, how did that happen? Because running the ball for a lot of yards doesn't really always translate into winning, especially not in today's NFL. You know what wins? Throwing the ball, passing the ball, scoring points through the air. So I think the Bills kind of, they did to me the smart thing, which is let's make sure everything stays in front of us. Make sure that Patrick Mahomes doesn't beat us over the top. Make sure Tyreek Hill doesn't beat us. And if we have to give up some yards on the ground, that's okay, because the Chiefs offense will be their own enemy. They'll have to run their own clock. They'll have to grind it out. We'll force them to do that. You know what the Bills did to the Chiefs? What the Titans did to the Bills on Tuesday night last week. Here's the difference, though. The Bills against the Titans could not sustain the running game, could not get the critical third down conversions. They did early on, but they could not make a big play when needed. The Chiefs, that is not part of the game plan. So as much as the philosophy sounds good and it actually kind of worked, you can't give up second and long every drive to become a third and short. You can't give up 9 yards on a run and 10 yards on a run and 12 yards on a run. And then suddenly, boom, there's Travis Kelce in the middle of the field. You can't. So that's where I start with that. So yes, there are defensive issues. There is no doubt about it. You want to call me up and say, what are you talking about? You're like praising the defense. I am not praising the defense. There are defensive issues. I think the defensive game plan was smart. I don't think they planned on the critical runs and the chunk runs blowing up that game plan in critical moments. That's all. But overall, from the start of the game to the end of the game, how to defend the Chiefs, if you could write a book on that, if you could put a game plan out there for all to see, I think we'd all say that's probably the best way to do it. Make them be their own worst enemy. Make them grind. Make them go hard. Every play to play. But they're just really good at it. They're very good. And they beat the Bills. And the Bills have their own defensive issues. There's no doubt tackling was an issue. Linebackers are an issue again. So let's go to the offense. So if I told you all those things, 225 yards passing, that's all Patrick Mahomes would have. Tyreek Hill, 3 catches for 20 yards. Bills would even get a couple turnovers. And the Chiefs would only get to 26 points. You'd say, wow, let's do it. Let's roll. Because I know this offense is getting to 27. And they didn't. Second week in a row. As much as I look at that embarrassing number of 245 yards on my game book right now, and I'm looking at it, That's a bad number. That's a big number. As much as I look at that, 245 yards given up on the ground, 161 to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as much as that is a cringe number, I look at it and go, oh my God. That's not why the Bills lost the game. They lost the game because they couldn't score points. They couldn't stay on the field. They couldn't hit a big play. They couldn't get to 27. They held the Kansas City Chiefs to less than their average on the year. They couldn't do their end on the offensive side. Yes, I'm not only assigning blame to the offense. Of course the defense had their issues, and I just said that. It's a complicated kind of twist way you do it. But I think the Bills said their game plan was, hey, let's make the Chiefs grind it. Let's make them work for everything they get. Let's hold them down. Let's not let them get to 30 points, and we'll get there. We'll get to 27, 28, 30 points on offense. That part of the game plan never materialized. And you start with the quarterback. He looked like he did his rookie year. Josh Allen looked like he did in 2018. That's who Josh Allen was last night. He was rookie Josh Allen. There were pre-snap reads he missed, and then there were post-snap throws he missed. He had one really good drive in the third quarter. Things started clicking. They started to do some things on offense we all kind of thought and expected and gotten used to. But they were not the same offense. They haven't been the same offense for 2 weeks. John Brown missed the Tuesday game against the Titans. He was clearly limping, clearly not right yesterday. I could notice it from the moat where I was standing. He fought through it. And I know, and good for him for battling through it, but he just could not get away from anyone. And that's a very big part of their offense. But Josh Allen was not that good. In the running game for the Bills, look, if the Chiefs wanted to do to the Bills what the Titans did to the Bills have to have a better response, have to have a better plan. And part of that plan has to be running the ball better, just like the Chiefs did. You had two teams that basically said, hey, we're going to make you grind everything, shorten the game, and then run the ball. And one team was able to do it, the Kansas City Chiefs. And the other team couldn't do it, the Buffalo Bills. And when they couldn't do it, their quarterback couldn't bail them out, as he has a few times this year. So there's a lot going on with yesterday's game. I think that it just the more I thought about it, the more I looked at it, it was so easy right after the game. It was so easy to just point the finger at the defense and the rushing yards allowed. But if you take a step back and think, that's actually kind of the way you want to beat the Chiefs. Let them kind of just not get those big plays. And then, you know, you don't want to give up 245 yards. I'm not saying that. Of course I'm not. Please. But that is kind of that's the model, right? That's the way you need to beat them, is not let them score, strike downfield, because you can do that to them. The Bills didn't do that. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. I'm looking over my screen here. I want to jump on and see where we're going to go first. I'll go based on time and who's been waiting the longest. How's that? And that is Troy in East Aurora. Hi, Troy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You just kind of said everything that I agree with everything you just said. It does concern me the most that they couldn't stop the run with nobody in the box. I'm sorry, they couldn't. I'm nervous. Never called before.
That's okay. Take your time, buddy.
The
Bills couldn't run when the Chiefs weren't putting anybody in the box, you mean?
Yeah, that scares me quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree.
The point that I wanted to make is, you know, we've watched a lot of teams, you know, especially with New England, you know, struggle in the beginning of the year. And it's a marathon. You want to get to the end of the year peaking. And we've watched a lot of quarterbacks come along through the league. And they, you know, get really good. Defenses get film. They figure them out. They take that away. Now it's Josh's turn to adjust. And you said that kind of in your monologue there in the beginning. He needs to adjust.
And Brian Daboll, yep.
Yes, and if he can take what they were giving him.
I don't know if Josh like wasn't trying to not take what he'd give him. I think he just missed a few times. There was a throw to Devin Singletary. He was wide open. He missed. He missed the opening throw to Cole Beasley, who was wide open, and he missed. You know, I think Josh needs to just be better. He was inaccurate last night. That's the knock on Josh. He's been accurate this year for the most part. He's had about a 70% completion percentage. Last night he was 51%. That's not going to do it.
I agree with you, but if they're taking away what he's like proven he can do well,
yep,
and now they're making him do this, is he missing those throws because he's feeling rushed in his head?
Maybe.
Because he's forcing things, stuff yeah. like that. If he starts to complete that stuff, well,
yeah, maybe they take away something, and he's like, "That's what I wanted," and now suddenly things just start to speed up a little bit, and you know he gets off kilter, if you will.
Yes, and I guess the point I was trying to make, if he gets that, now you got it. He's got both. Well, a lot of other opponents are going
to
be in trouble.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the first thing is they got to fix the run game to help him out at least, right? I'm not telling you the Bills need to run for 150 yards a game, not at all. But man, you got to at least have a serviceable enough running game for defenses to say, "Hey, this team can beat us a couple of different ways." And the Bills have not been able to show that the last couple of weeks. Let's go to Lyndon. Hi, Lyndon. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey, listen, I just want to talk a few minutes about McDermott, and I know this is a hard point to make when we were winning, but I'm almost at the point now where McDermott's got to go, and I kind of want you to hear me out a little bit.
I'll let you hear you out, but you know that no matter what you say, it does not matter here because he just signed a contract extension and he's not getting fired.
I do understand
that. Okay, so I'll let you say what you want to say, but we just so we're both on the same page, it's obviously a moot point if you want to claim that he shouldn't be the coach.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
But I do want to look back at his track record to where in 2017, you know, we got into the playoffs and he sat there and said, hey, we earned it. No, you didn't. You were horrible. Just everybody else sucked worse than you did. And then, you know, you take the 6-10 season the following year, and I get it, it's a rebuilding year. You know, we're almost giving him a pass on that. But then we look at last year, and he just can't win the second half of games. And it's a point where, you know, either, I don't know whether it's not making adjustments at halftime or whether it's, you know, your whole in-game philosophy or what it is, but he wasn't winning second half of games. Teams were coming out and beating him. He couldn't hold on to win. Wins in hand. And now this year, it was a harder point to make when you were 4-0, which is kind of a point why I didn't call in, because it's a really hard point to make when you're 4-0. But now you have two teams in a row, and let's go back to the Tennessee game, where your game plan, whether it was Dable that came up with it or whatever the case may be, you signed off on it. You know, don't sit there and say a 350-pound lineman and a 200-pound lineman, we're going to line up and run the ball against you. What kind of a game plan was that? That was your solution? That should have never came into the equation, and we got blown out doing it because it was that bad of a game plan. And then today, and we've proven that we are not built to come from behind. We were behind last week. We couldn't get it done. This week we were behind, but not by as much. We can't do it. If we're not up by 40 points and almost lose it like we did in the LA game, he's losing games in the second half.
Can I jump in now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because I want to tell you, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, I basically disagree with every single thing you just said. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to go point by point, all right? Number one, they did earn the playoffs in 2017. People thought they were tanking. Stop. Hold on. I give you your platform. Okay?
Yeah, yep.
People thought they were tanking in 2017. They traded Ron Darby, traded Sammy Watkins. Yes, sure, you need some luck along the way. They got some turnover luck. They got teams. They had a schedule that probably wasn't, you know, the hardest. I get it. You still have to win. You still have to perform. You did earn it. Don't tell me any team in sports that goes to the playoffs doesn't earn that right. Of course you do. You can't do that. That's not fair to anybody who works their tail off every day to try and succeed and be good and win games. They absolutely earned the right to go to the playoffs that year. So if you want to play that game, then lots of teams every year only make it because other teams suck, okay? Secondly, yes, you're right about the pass, about the thing. I guess I'll agree with you on that. I think we do give him a pass because 2018 was really the year I thought a lot of people would thought they were going to have in 2017. But you are completely wrong about last year's schedule. They did come back in games last year. A lot of times they did, actually. They came back in the game against the Baltimore Ravens. They came up short. They came back. They had the ball down late trying to win the game. They came back against the Pittsburgh Steelers on a Sunday night and actually won the game in the second half. They didn't hold the lead against the Patriots. They didn't hold the lead in the playoffs. They came back against the Tennessee Titans last year, won the football game. Came back against the Cincinnati Bengals, won the football game. Came back against the New York Jets week one, won the football game. So I don't know where you're getting these numbers from.
Yeah.
It's just a perception that you're wrong about.
Right. And I get it. It's harder to see it, I guess, maybe out of frustration.
Right. Yeah. I get it. Sean McDermott's not going anywhere. You can be upset with him. I get that part of it. You can be upset about some of the ways some games have gone or game plans you put together. I think that's fair. That's in bounds. That's all of it. But they earned the right to go to the playoffs 2 years ago. And they did not blow a ton of games in the second half last year. That's just not the case. Thanks, Lyndon. I appreciate it. I pulled it up here. I mean, the schedule last year. They came back and won. I mean, they didn't win every game. They beat the Miami Dolphins after being down at home last year to a winless team, right? So, like I said, I mean, I'm not trying to be, but if you want to bring that to the table, I'm going to have to fact check you as much as I can. Let's go to Lisa in Orchard Park. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Sal. How are you? Good morning.
You too. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I have 2 points on the offense, if you just give me a minute or two.
Absolutely.
Number one, John Brown. Love the guy. But he was obviously not 100%, and it was obvious throughout the week that he wasn't 100%. Why wouldn't Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll call up a guy from the practice squad? You would have to think someone on
Well, because then you have to create a roster spot for them. Or actually, they could do it. You're right. I'm sorry. They could do it in that situation. Here's my guess on that, and I'll let you go on the other points. Here's what my guess. Believe me, I have covered this team for a long time, Lisa, and I will tell you, Sean McDermott is very in tune with his training staff and his doctors. They are not going to put someone out there if they didn't feel that he could play up to at least performance enough to not put them in further injury. And I will also say this. I think John Brown might have actually gotten hurt on that flea flicker and he re-aggravated it. I didn't notice it until after that. It was early in the game, but after that is when I noticed it. So I think it's a fair point that maybe he wasn't 100%. I agree with that point, but I would trust that they're not going to play him unless they believe that he can at least help the offense.
Fair enough. My other point was on our game plan and targeting a tight end. Every elite team has a tight end that they go to. Tyler Kroft did one catch for 7 yards. We never throw to our tight end. That should be his checkoff point when he gets into trouble. Jim Kelly had Pete Metzelaars. Why don't we throw to our tight end? And I don't think it's the talent of the tight end. We just don't call it enough.
I don't know. I think it might be a bit of the talent, though. It's a great point you make, and I agree with you. The tight end has been kind of non-existent in this offense. And, you know, when you have as many good receivers as they do, and let's face it, they do. They have Stephon Diggs, and they have Cole Beasley, and they have John Brown, and now they have Gabriel Davis. There is only one football to go around. I agree with you. The tight end needs to be more integral. It hasn't been in this offense. You see a lot of people asking if they maybe might want to make a move and trade for a tight end at the trade deadline. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think that's an issue for this team that they have to address right now. I really like the skill set of Dawson Knox and Tyler Kroft, to be honest with you. But you're right. They don't have that. And I'm not going to say they intentionally don't throw to him. I think that there are just concepts and designs to go to wide receivers, and Josh is taking advantage of that mostly. You know what I mean? That's why I would say that.
All right, thanks, Dale.
Okay, thank you. No, I appreciate your phone call. And I think you're right about the tight ends, though, have to be better. Whether that's targeting them, throwing to them, Josh deciding that, or the tight ends just being better. They just have not been. And Dawson Knox has had his drops. We know that as well. Let's go to Ray in Buffalo. Hi, Ray. You're on WGR.
Hey, how's it going, Sal? How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
So just a couple obvious points I want to make. I think this is the year that we should establish our identity, meaning, you know, we got the weapons now. We got our definite number one. We got, you know, we signed Trey for long term. I think that the reason that these last couple losses with Tennessee and KC may hurt more than they would have a couple of years ago is because this is our team. We got the guys. We got our quarterback, our franchise quarterback. He's getting better. Took a big leap this year. I wouldn't necessarily say for some people it's a setback for these couple losses. I just think that people are more frustrated simply because this is the team that we should establish our identity with.
I think the word you're looking for is expectations, right? The expectations have risen. The bar has risen, to be honest with you. And they didn't hit that bar the last couple of weeks, came well short of it.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, like I said, a couple of years ago, before our playoff berth of breaking the streak, we would be happy with 4-2 and be like, okay, yeah, whatever, because
right.
We're not used to that. But this year, I think, I know it's kind of a weird, funky year to do it because of Corona and all that, but this has to be the year, I think, that, you know, we just kind of take the adversity and maybe, hopefully, wish it goes our way, because this is a team that we can get it done with.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it, Ray, is I think that looking at the first six games, if someone said, hey, you're going to be 4-2, you know, people might say, okay, I'll take that. But it's the way that the 4-2 has happened, and now suddenly all these concerns are coming up because you think, oh my gosh, like, what's heading down the road if teams have figured this out or that out? 4-2 is not bad. It's a good spot to be in. They're in first place in the AFC East. I think it's how it's gone the last couple of weeks that is most concerning for anyone.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, if you look at our next two opponents, we got New England and the Jets.
Right.
New England's not looking nearly as good as they ever have. The Jets, 0-6. So 6-2 is a realistic.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that if we lose one of the next two games, would you be scared or what?
I don't know. You have to tell me how it is, how it goes down. There's lots of ways to win or lose, you know what I mean? But the next two games are very, very big. They have a chance to get to 6-2, as you said. I think they can. I mean, look, if this team loses to the Jets, then we are having a much different discussion, maybe even what we are right now, next Monday on this show. They need to beat the Jets, I think, handily, considering who the Jets are. But we'll see how that goes. And then the Patriots, and you know what? Guarantee it. Bill Belichick's taking a look at that run defense on the Bills and saying, we're going to power them up, we're going to bully them, and we're going to run right at them. Kind of like the Rams did in the second half, and kind of like the Chiefs did, right? But again, I think the Bills yesterday did, that's what they wanted. They were inviting the Chiefs to run, so they couldn't throw on them. What they didn't want was the big runs and the critical runs that wound up ultimately killing them. So I think the philosophy of the game plan was actually right and smart on defense. But nowhere in that philosophy and in that game plan was Clyde Edwards-Helaire brutalizing them for 160 yards and long runs all day. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More of your phone calls. Good start in the Extra Point Show. Appreciate it. Good debates. Good discussions. Keep them coming. 803-0550 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was not good enough. I got to do a better job. It's plain and simple. I didn't play very good tonight. I know that. I understand that. This team can't afford to have me play poorly. Early on, just not being as accurate with the ball as I should have been, making the right reads, making the right throws. And we turned it on a little too late there, obviously. But yeah, 16 and 17 points is not going to cut it in this league. It didn't matter who we played tonight. If that's how we play, we're going to struggle to win games. So it is what it is right now. We'll learn from this. Obviously, super frustrated with myself and how I performed tonight. And I can't do that to this team. So, I got to be better. I will be better.
That's Josh Allen following the Bills 26-17 loss last night, yesterday afternoon, however you want to put it. In my Arrow Up, Arrow Down column, which you can find at WGR550.com, I wrote the Monday matinee. That's how I put it. It was a matinee, right? It was an afternoon, late afternoon game, I guess. Weird how you want to phrase it. Today, tonight? I don't know. Talking all about it here on the Extra Point Show today. Double dose of the Extra Point Show, 803-0550, 888-552-550. It is not a Buffalo Football Monday, but it is basically a Buffalo Football Tuesday because we're dissecting this. So, of course, you'll still have One Bills Live at noon. After I get out of here, Show Up and the Bulldog will be aboard at 3 o'clock here on a Tuesday. And haven't had the Bills. I think I got to check on this. I would expect probably to hear from Sean McDermott and the coordinators later today like a normal Monday. But to be honest, I haven't actually checked the releases on that to the media. So I will, and I'll let everybody know. All right, 803-0550 is the number to call. Hey, we started off with a really good first segment. Lots of good calls. Had a first-time caller. Was a little nervous. That's okay. First-time callers, long-time callers, you're all welcome to call. And I take your calls here on the Extra Point Show. Let's go to Ryan in Buffalo. Hi, Ryan. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Yeah. I know right before the break, Ray actually stole a little bit of my thunder. But, I just wanted to – I know the past 2 weeks the losses have been tough. But, for the better part of two decades, it's been so – miserable. And I believe in this team and being at McDermott. And I do think Brown is a little hurt on that play. But, in years past, I would say, okay, we got a loss. We'll look to next week. And I look at the few games before the bye. A few years ago, I'd say, 1-3, maybe 2-2. You know what? Even after those two losses, I think 3-1. I say New England and the Jets, beat them. I don't care what happened yesterday or the week before. Beat those two teams. I don't think New England is very good, other than their defense can be. I don't think they're good. I think the Dolphins are going to finish ahead of the Patriots. And Seattle, obviously, is great. I mean, Seattle and the Chiefs, I think, are the best. But, I think Arizona is beatable.
The Seattle's defense is not good, though. You know, I mean, the Bills, that's a game where I'm looking, you know, we're looking way down the road and we're not allowed to do that, right? No, we can because we're on the radio. We're not coaches or players. You know, you think about it. I think the Jets, obviously, let's just go through the next few games here to your point about, you know, how you feel about the big picture, right? And I appreciate that. And I'm a big picture guy, so I appreciate that. The Jets next week is a game that you should win, right? I mean, we just all know that. If they don't beat the Jets, there's some serious issues going on. The Patriots are going to try to take a page out of, I think, the Rams book from the second half and just power run against the Bills and just, you know, physically go after them, because the Patriots can do that, but they do have offensive line issues right now. But I don't think they're not a real good throwing team. That's what they're going to have to do. That's their identity. You go to that Seahawks game, that's interesting to me, because the Seahawks, they don't have a very good defense. The Bills will have opportunity to try and, if you will, win a shootout, I guess, because Russell Wilson's so good, and I think the same game plan might have to go for that game as the Bills tried last night, which is keep everything in front of you and run. And that circles us back to last night, which is, you know, again, as I opened the show, Ryan, I think that they tried to do what they did what they tried to do, except didn't count on the critical and long runs that they gave up.
Exactly. You know, that running back, what was a killer. And if it wasn't for him, I know it's the coulda, woulda, shoulda, but as ugly as that game seemed, they were right there.
Do you imagine if they got the fumble counted, or if they get the 3rd and 19 stop, I mean, or 3rd and 12, whatever it was, the Bills would have the ball down 6 in the fourth quarter with time to play. I mean, I just think it's weird to think how that game evolved, considering it looked like they were getting dominated. But that's what happens when you run the ball, and then the fourth quarter, you're sitting there going, wait a minute, how are we in this game? That was the Chiefs, basically.
Right.
Yeah, I know. All right, Ryan, thanks, buddy. I got to go.
Yep, take care.
All right, no problem. Just want to get on some other calls here. Other people have been waiting. So let's go to Craig. Hi, Craig. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Living out here in Rochester, miss seeing you this summer at Fisher.
Oh, man, I miss being out there. Yeah, hopefully next year. Hopefully everything gets back to normal, if you will. But, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so ironically, like, my freakout was last Monday, and I think it was more because I saw that as an easier game, you know, in a sense. I think a lot of people did, but an opportunity. You knew Kansas City was a really good team, and it's weird because I think both sides of the ball played, like, D-minus, C-minus football, but they still had a shot, so the frustration's more. You kind of blew it there. So, you know, I think they'll be okay. I think the bigger thing where I think a lot of fans are frustrated is we had 2 weeks against two of the top, what I would say, top-tier teams, and we're just not there yet. You hope that, you know, we're going to get some other cracks. The team can mature and fix some of the issues. I didn't think Allen played bad against Tennessee.
I agree.
Kind of let down.
Yeah, I don't think he played very badly against Tennessee. I thought there were a couple mistakes here or there, some drop passes, but he missed a few throws. But last night, he did not step up to the occasion last night.
And I think that's, you know, he's shown a lot of great things the last year and a half where as a Bills fan, it's so awesome to be excited for that. The next step will be, you know, he's got Russell Wilson. He's going to have Ben. He's got to win one of these games where, you know, he just has a better game. Yeah. My two questions for you, though.
Okay.
I'm not expecting the defense, truthfully, to become top five again this year. I think between star outs, some changes, injuries, it's just not flying that way. What changes can they make realistically to kind of just make it where the offense is allowed to make a mistake here or there? Because I think that's one thing. The offense is starting to get frustrated where it you know, it's like last week, Allen has one bad interception and the game felt over. And it's just they can't kind of make a mistake. My other question is there frustration building? That Poyer penalty, that to me seemed like a guy who they were so frustrated that they've been dominating for 3 years on defense, and all of a sudden they're not doing, you know, they're a sieve. And to me, that struck me as a player who he finally hit his breaking point. He usually doesn't take that type of play. He just had to push him out. He didn't need. Do you think that this defense were hitting a point where there's some real frustration? You're finally.
Yeah, I do think that settled in a bit last night. Really, 2 out of 3 plays they had that. Tre'Davious White. Uncharacteristic of him. Jordan Poyer, uncharacteristic of him. They happen almost on back-to-back plays. And on Poyer's, that was a real big one, because if he doesn't do that, it's 3rd and long. You know, I mean, that put the that they stopped him on 2nd down essentially on that play and when he did it. But, you know, they're human beings. They have emotions. They're getting run on all day. They couldn't get off the field. I do think frustration set in, but I don't think that's necessarily something you expect all the time or it's going to happen. But I do think some frustration probably led to those things happening. Here's the answer to your other part, Craig. It's not a simple answer, of course, because there's no magic bullet to fix the defense, as I've been saying. But when you talk about how can they improve, and that's your question, there's two ways you can improve, and that's personnel or scheme. they're not going to change their scheme, right? I mean, this is a defensive scheme. They're well coached. I do believe that. They're well coached. They can come up with good game plans. I thought they had a good game plan yesterday. You know, they couldn't stop them on third down, and they got some big runs against them. But I think they had a good philosophy going in. The personnel, they're trying to play with that, and they're trying to find the right combination. And that was very indicative by leaving Trent Murphy and Harrison Phillips inactive yesterday. So I think the answer there is, do you have answers on your roster internally, or do you have to look around to see if anybody's available at the trade deadline maybe to bring in? And I don't know what that would take to do, but you have to start looking. So thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go out to Chris in Albany. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Sal. Love the show. First time caller here.
All right. Awesome. Love to have you. Thank you.
So actually, this is like perfect because you just kind of touched on my point a little bit.
Yeah.
So since Bean and McDermott have got here, you know, I'm not calling for anybody's heads. I love these guys. I love what they've done with the locker room, changed the culture. I love the players they brought in. But looking at that first year, you know, we nailed White. We nailed Milano. We traded Sammy. We were panic mode, but then we nailed these defensive draft picks. At what point can we start to get a little concerned here? Because I'm looking at the rest of the drafts, we got Harrison Phillips. Taron Johnson seems like a little bit of a liability in coverage. Oliver hasn't really lived up to a number 9 draft pick. Epinesa hasn't seen the field. Even Edmonds. And I guess it comes down to your opinion on Edmonds.
Yeah.
When can we worry about Edmonds?
I think you should start worrying about him right now. I think he's not progressed. Now, I will tell you, I do believe he's battling through a shoulder injury. It's just, you know, it's something every week that seems to be either on the injury report, practice, red non-contact jersey. I do think he's battling. But to me, that's not an excuse for not diagnosing plays, overrunning plays, looking confused at times. I think there's time to concern right now for Tremaine Edmonds because he has not taken that next step. I will be the first to tell you, and I have been the first to tell you, how young he is. I've always pointed out, like, oh my God, this guy's seen so much football. He's only 22 years old. He's already in his third year. But he's in his third year, right? I mean, he needs to be better than what he has been. I do also believe Tremaine Edmonds is a much better player when Matt Milano was next to him, and that obviously hasn't been the case the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. So,
you know, so I look, on your overall draft pick, here's one thing I would tell you, though, Chris. I don't think it's fair, for good or bad, to talk about rookie draft picks, because as much as you could tell me A.J. Epinesa hasn't looked good, and I agree with you, I could point to Gabriel Davis looking really good. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think that and I do know that Tyler Bass did miss a kick yesterday, but he is a rookie kicker, and I think they made the right choice, and I'm glad that they have a guy that can, you know, kick long-range kicks. It was not a good situation at the end of the half yesterday with him missing, so that notwithstanding. On the defensive side, sure, but Tre'Davious White is one of their draft picks. You know, where could you go there? Matt Milano, they hit on him. You know, they missed on Zay Jones. I would say they've hit on more than they've missed, but your point is well taken about Ed Oliver and, you know, where in Tremaine Edmonds right now. And those are guys right in the middle of the defense, which exasperates it.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, thank you. And I'm not here to tell you that Ed Oliver is not a good player. I don't think that as of right now he's done the things you'd expect a number 9 overall pick to do, though. I also think Ed Oliver and Tremaine Edmonds both. Now, I think this was true with Oliver when you drafted him. Not necessarily true of Edmonds when you drafted him, what I'm about to say. But both these players are much better when they have certain things around them allowing their skills to be accentuated. And if you want to tell me, well, then you shouldn't draft Ed Oliver number 9 overall if that's the case, I'll listen to that argument, but I still think he can be really good. And if you do have him in that situation, he's going to be really good. That was more the case last year with Star Lotulelei, with Jordan Phillips. At the second half of the year, he really turned it on and started fitting in and understanding what his role is and allowed those guys to do their thing, and he did his thing. He can't do that this year. He does not have those players around him. And Tremaine Edmonds is the exact same situation, but I'll tell you this. Tremaine Edmonds has to be able to do more things on his own than he's doing right now. I'm fine with the defense being more about the sum than the parts. I'm fine with these players being better if they're all working together. That's fine. That's team defense. That's a good philosophy. Look, I can be old school sometimes. I know that. All right? I am 47, whether that's old to you or not. I've watched football my whole life. I've played football. I've coached football. I've been around football. I've, you know, followed this pro teams and college teams, and I've seen the evolution of football from the high school level on up. And I'll tell you, I am fine with team defense in any respect, as opposed to having a star edge rusher or a star safety, and then everybody kind of just relies on them to make a play here or there. But even that said, you have to be able to make individual plays sometimes. And we are not seeing that from the Bills' middle linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds. I'm fine with him being a part of a system. But sometimes, even part of the system, when you get drafted in the first round as a middle linebacker and you look like that guy looks like, you have to be able to make more individual plays than what we see him making. Next up is Dan down in Florida. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Sal. Good to talk to you. I don't know. I mean, I know everybody's been on the defense. I think it's the offense, man.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. People have called on the offense, too, but I think the glaring number is the yards rushing, which is why so many go to the defense today. But I'm with you, Dan. I thought last night was more on the offense than the defense, considering the game was actually still there for the taking.
Yeah, but my point is this, is that I would like the star players that we have to sit for the Jets. And I think that we can actually win without them.
Can you? Who are you talking about?
First down until half of the fourth.
Who are you talking about? What players?
Oh, White, Milano, Edmonds, Brown. I mean, like, just let them sit.
I mean, Dan, you're. I mean, I know they're the Jets. I get it, buddy. But they are professional football players, and they get paid. If you're gonna just take off everybody who means something to you, you're asking for trouble. I mean, I'm just telling you. I understand they can probably beat a team like the Jets underhanded, but man, to have all those guys, you just start sitting there. Look what I'm just telling you. I don't think it's smart. If those guys can play, you know what? They play. They're professional football players. They get paid. Now, if somebody's banged up and it's iffy, then I'm with you. Then you know, give them a week.
I'm with you, man.
But you don't just sit somebody just to sit them because you think you can beat a team. That's never smart.
Want them for the Pats and the season.
Yeah, I get you. You don't sit somebody just because you want to sit them just because the other team stinks. But I'll tell you, if Matt Milano's close next week, maybe he has to sit another week. If John Brown is still ailing, maybe he has to sit. I understand that part of it. You err on the side of caution in those situations. I don't think you just sit people because you think you can win a game against a team. That's not smart. In any respect. Remember when the Dolphins came here last year? Wasn't it the same week? When did the Dolphins come to Buffalo? Let me just see this. Last year, the Dolphins came to Buffalo in week number... okay, that was after the bye week. It was week 7. They were 0-6, maybe 0-5. Did they have their bye week? I think they were 0-6. And they had the Bills on the ropes. And everybody said that was the worst team we had seen, and they had all these points against, and they're going to be having the number one pick and all that kind of stuff. And they had the Bills on the ropes. So I'm just here to tell you that, you know, as bad as the Jets have looked and as bad as they are, I wouldn't advocate for that. Take a timeout. We'll come back on WGR. Thanks for listening.
Make no mistakes, played a really good team. You know, they're the defending Super Bowl champs for a reason. We definitely had our opportunities, and we got to be better with it. Again, it's on me. I take that very personally. This is going to be a good week to kind of sit back and learn some things from the tape. Learning from this is, you know, going to help and help us move forward.
All right, that was Josh Allen. The liner right before that said, you want to talk to Sal Capaccio? And John Simon, I was producing today, I said, hey, that's me. He said, you want to talk to yourself? You could go crazy. I may be better served sometimes, I would think, on this show actually talking to myself, but honestly, that is not the case. You guys are awesome. I have to tell you, I just tweeted this out. It's totally true. I want to tell you, okay? Just give me a moment here to tell you, because I'm super proud. I really am. I'm so proud of the show we've built here after games. I really am. Does it get a little off the rails once in a while? Is there a crazy caller or two that gets completely overreacted? Do I get a little bit heated sometimes? Absolutely. That's going to happen. It's emotional. It's sports talk radio. That's what happens in this medium and in this forum. And that can be good, actually. But I have to tell you, a few years ago, I consciously made a change to this show. What I did was, it was just getting to, oh my God, fire everybody. Everything stinks. Or, oh my God, they're going to win the Super Bowl after they win a couple games. It just got way too much extreme. So, what I did was, and I used to have some interviews and some guests and just run a regular talk show, if you will. Well, a few years ago, I said, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to make a conscious effort to say, look, I want this show to be for the fans, about you, about reaction. But with that, I want you to take on responsibility. And if you're going to call me, don't be like that. Have a good opinion, comment, question, a measured conversation, dialogue. We can disagree. Totally awesome to disagree. That's great. That's healthy. But I made a conscious decision and effort to do that on this show a few years ago and said, I'm not taking any calls. You can get that throughout the week. I'm not doing any interviews. I'm doing you. This is you. It's your football team. I'll give my opinion. I'll have plenty to do that. And I got to tell you, in the 3 years since I've made that change, I've been doing the show longer than that, but in the 3 years since I've made that change, you have knocked it out of the park, exceeded all my expectations in the way that this show has gone. So thank you very much. I just want to thank all of you. I should make you all my buddy today. Hey, buddy, right? So lots of smart callers today, good points. Yes, some overreactions, but I really appreciate the dialogue and the measured conversations. I wanted to say that to you from the bottom of my heart. This is my job. This is my life. This is my passion. This is what I do for a living. I'm not just a guy who knows sports and talks about sports and turns on the radio and, hey, what's going on at Sal, whatever. That's not me. And it shouldn't be. I take this seriously. This is my life. I get paid to do this. It's my career. It's what I built everything in my entire life for. So when I tell you that, I'm being sincere and I really appreciate it. I know a few of you are holding on really long here. In fact, you know what? Jack, you've been over 20 minutes. I'll give you a chance here, Jack. Go ahead, buddy. I didn't want to have you wait through the break. Go ahead. You're on the air.
No problem, Sal. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
One of the questions that I have, and I agree with you that sort of the animosity towards the Bills defense is, I would say, slightly misplaced. But one of the things that's worried me over the last 2 weeks is the quarterback contain. And yeah. Doing the job of keeping the quarterback in the pocket. I'm not sure if it's a problem of not setting the edge, but I just want to get your thoughts.
I agree. I think it has been an issue. I thought Patrick Mahomes was dead to rights a few times yesterday. You know what I mean? And Tannehill, you know, the difference was Tannehill, he got out and he made some passes. Mahomes got out, and yes, he did have a couple passes, but he ran. And that was something I actually brought up before the game was, he's a good athlete. You have to watch for that. But honestly, here's the thing I will tell you, Jack. I think we'd all agree. You'd probably agree with me. If it's a choice between Patrick Mahomes scrambling out of the pocket or him throwing downfield, I'll take him scrambling out of the pocket any day. But
I agree
with you that they did lose contain on him a couple times, and it seemed like some guys got caught in the wash, if you will, sucked down, things like that. And, you know, they have to be more aware of that. I also tell you, if Joe Flacco is the quarterback of the New York Jets next week, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
I completely understand where you're coming from. Then one more thing I want
to
What would you place the value on between Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano at the moment?
Matt Milano is more valuable to this team, but I think it's a complicated issue because you'd have to pay him right away, whereas Tremaine Edmonds still has 1 year on his contract and a fifth-year option if you pick it up. And I don't know. Here's the problem I have.
Yeah.
I value Matt Milano more, but do I value Matt Milano at $12 or $13 million a year, which is what he could get on the open market by some estimates?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you can do that. It's a complicated issue for Brandon Bean, but I absolutely think Matt Milano is more important to this defense.
Okay. And do you think that Milano would have guarded, like, sort of face guard Travis Kelce last night?
I don't know. It's a tough call. I'm really not sure, you know, how they would have employed that scheme with him in there. I did the snap counts earlier, by the way. And real quickly, let me just look. Now, this should not be reflective on how – who actually started? Give me 1 second. Let me look. A.J. Klein started. Not Terrell Dotson. I thought Terrell Dotson would start. It wasn't. It was A.J. Klein. Then Terrell Dotson actually hurt his hamstring. A.J. Klein was in there. And I think they might have wanted that because of the all different things that the Chiefs do on offense. Maybe that Leslie Frazier might have wanted more of a guy that's seen more experienced guy right in there. And I don't know. They are really missing Matt Milano right now. There is no doubt about that. An hour left of your phone calls. We'll take them next on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.